What's going on, family? I know there's a lot of us that's aware, of some of the things that's been going on. As far as Twitter, Elon Musk has taken over, and there seems to be a lot of conversation revolving around free speech or the protection of it. For those who don't know, there are a lot of people who left Twitter as soon as Elon Musk took over. And there's a couple of things I want to say about that, but I kind of want to start with the beginning when I started noticing some of these things. Because honestly, I never really cared too much about Elon Musk. Like I worked for Tesla like years ago, but outside of that, I never really gave too much of a thought about Elon Musk or what he's about. He's, you know, like a rich guy, like most rich guys. You know, he got his start, despite of what they say. You know, he comes from a very, very wealthy family. You know, his family had benefited from apartheid. So I don't really look at him in a way that a lot of American people look at him, or just people in general. At the same time, I think this is the time where we should talk about him, because what he's kind of what he's sort of involving himself in, it does involve us. I don't know if his intentions is directly because of us. And I say that because there's a huge presence. We call it Black Twitter. There's a huge presence of Black people, Black thought, Black speech, you know, that is all over Twitter, and it's in Twitter in ways that it's not allowed on other platforms. Many of us know that algorithms on platforms such as Facebook, such as Instagram, had been changed largely due to how so much grassroots information was being put out there. Because we were putting out information out there at such an incredible rate, they had to change the algorithm to make it more appealing to the type of content that they think is good. And there is a rating system, what they consider to be good content, what they consider to be bad content. It's not even what you hashtag. For example, when you look at Twitter and you see certain things that are trending, a lot of people assume that what's trending is based on what's hashtag. That's only partially true. If the algorithm in Twitter picks up, like for example, today it was Black men, and it wasn't because a lot of people were hashtagging Black men. It was because Black men were a consistent subject. So we have to understand that the way that these algorithms, the way that they design these web pages, these websites to filter and deal with information is very, very sophisticated. And it doesn't necessarily play by the rules that we think that it does. I'll give you guys another example. When the algorithm on Instagram changed, it was very easy for me to recognize this, because when I started to mention certain peoples, let's say I was referencing Gannibal in Russia, and I was talking about certain contributions of Russia and how Russia has benefited from the contributions of Black people and things of that nature. I get a lot of bots from Russia. Never hashtagged anything because I'm really careful about doing that. I also notice that there's certain names and certain things that you can't put in the same space without it being potentially flagged, right? And it's not that Twitter doesn't have the same mechanism. It's just, it seems to be, at least at right now, it seems to be a bit more forgiving than other platforms. So how does Elon Musk tie into all this? So I was fortunate enough to check out a space that Elon Musk was in. He was answering questions rather about the changes, you know, not only Twitter, but other members of the mainstream media could expect moving forward with Twitter. And I don't know if that space is still out there for people to go check it out. If you can, I'll go take a look. I would recommend you guys go take a look at it, or take a listen to it rather. But what I found interesting about it was that this whole narrative about free speech and how the members of the mainstream media felt like they already were giving the best version of media. They were already giving the best news coverage, even though Elon was of the mindset, and seems to be of the mindset, that free speech is something, or just is something that is really being imposed upon. Now, how much of this that he truly believes, family, before I delve any more into this, I cannot say. From the outside looking in, it seems to be an opportunity. I don't tend to just try to give people credit for doing something that necessarily benefits me or that works to my benefit. I give credit based on intention. What do you mean to get out of this? So when I look at him from that perspective, I look at it as in, this is something that he could be potentially doing to garner some popularity, to get people on his side. The court of public opinion and people in general, having people's support is a very, very powerful thing. Never overlook that, family. Now, the reason why I said in the beginning that this may not necessarily be the same kind of free speech, or the free speech in the way that we see it, because we're very vocal on Twitter. We make things happen. We've seen it with the rally for reparations. We saw it with Kyrie Irving and that whole situation between him and the ADL. We've seen it with Kanye, that we can make an impact. So I definitely don't want to diminish that in any way. What I would also say is that we are not necessarily the only people on that platform who are giving our free speech. There's many people on that platform giving their, you know, speaking their mind, good or bad. And I just say that's something that we should just keep in mind before we dub him a hero of any sorts. So that's what I wanted to say about that. But as far as the issue between the platform and this free speech, I think that is a more pressing concern. Because in that space, it was really it's hard for me to describe it without, I'm going to paraphrase, but it's hard for me to describe without using the exact words. But it seemed when Elon had responded to a question about how mainstream media has represented himself and was what he was trying to do in some way against mainstream media. Again, I'm paraphrasing. When he said, no, I just feel like, you know, you need more than one voice and not just mainstream media. Mainstream media is one side. You don't get the entire side when you focus on mainstream media. And one of the members, I forget, I think it was MSNBC. Oh, my God, I'm so terrible with those. I think it was them or he was represented by them. But he kind of gave the comment that the mainstream media already gives the full picture in terms of, coverage and whatnot. Now, some of the other details of the space, they were talking about like payment layoffs, kind of what his opinion was and what he seemed to feel where Twitter should be heading. But the thing that stuck with me was the tension between the members, the representatives of mainstream media when they're talking to Elon Musk. Clearly, they were very, very concerned about the integrity of their information, which I feel like if you're reporting and you're doing a damn good job, you shouldn't give a damn about what some person on Twitter posts and all their links. That's supposed to be your job. So if somebody on Twitter is doing a better job than you, then that says a lot more about you than it does those people. At least that's how I look at things. But following that space, that conversation, there seems to be a lot more conversation regarding the nature of free speech. And Elon Musk he's claiming he's going to release documents or proof of the suppression of free speech that has happened on Twitter. And it certainly has happened. While I did give Twitter the credit for being one of the more lenient platforms in terms of free speech, it does not mean that it is perfect or it does not suppress you. For those who've been following me for a while, you know that I just recently had got both of my accounts locked out. One of them was for a post I had made about the warrior woman king, and another one was a post that I probably should have made it in a different way, but I did insult someone. I didn't insult them racially. I called them stupid. But I didn't think that was something that that would warrant my account being locked. But it also had a lot to do with the context of the conversation that was being had, you know. And this was also during that time of Kyrie Irving and a lot of people getting out there and getting on, getting in line for them butter biscuits, getting in line, you know, to get the nibbling. And, you know, I said some things and I hadn't been on Twitter in a while. That's really the reason why, because I'm used to certain things being away. I don't usually have a problem with abiding by the rules of a particular platform. I just navigate as I see fit. But I just say that to say that it's not to say that there is no such oppression still on Twitter. But again, it's way more lenient. And if you are respectful in how you present an argument, then it should go on pretty well. And even if it's something where I feel like it's subtly egregious, they don't seem to react to that. Now, why that part is significant is if we are, I'm very curious to see what this version of free speech looks like for Elon Musk. That's the way, you know, that's the only way that I can say it. I am hopeful. I'm hopeful because in the same way that other people's free speech gets imposed upon, mostly because people are trying to oppress our free speech, I noticed that that's an issue that I'd like to see rectified. People should have the right to respectfully bring forth information and have discourses and have discussions. I'm very, very disgusted by the society that seems so against having a open discussion about any topic. And that's a large, large reason for a lot of my more recent podcasts. The attack on people's perspectives, people's beliefs. And I say it's an attack because there's nothing to say that the people against that form of free speech is right or wrong. They just want to say that it's wrong because they disagree with it. And that in essence, and I think that's kind of what Elon Musk is saying, just because it's something that people disagree with, it doesn't make it any less relevant and it doesn't make it any less of their right to put it out there. People put out crazy things all the time. People talk about flat earth and it's well within their right. They don't care about how much science goes with it, but people typically get to say the things that they want, except when that starts to offend those that are in control. So again, I'm very, very curious to see how this goes. Elon Musk is, they consider him an African American, but he's from South Africa. He's not necessarily somebody that I would consider a traditional American. I'm not sure how much that weighs in the minds of white Americans in this country, but I'm sure it comes across a few of their minds. So I'm not sure how much of this would be seen as an interference. And again, as I said before, I'm not sure how much of this is going to be like how much of this is really going to benefit us. Okay. And that's the way that I tend to look at things. I tend to look at things in terms of how does it affect us? Does it affect us in a good way? Does it affect us in a bad way, negative way? So another thing that I like to mention, because again, I've noticed a lot of people retweeting certain things that Elon has said, definitely things in terms of free speech. I understand why we do feel attached to that, because our free speech is being attacked literally every day. It's been attacked forever. So anybody who wants to stand up for the right to that free speech, for that very right, that benefit, which should be a right, but it's, when we look at it truly within this society, the ability to be able to speak your mind and say what you want to say is a privilege that you either earn or you take. Because there's not too many people that are in control that want to just freely give that out to anybody. For example, they didn't want to give Malcolm X any sort of free speech, which is why, even though there are a lot more people who know who he is and know of his work, there's more images and more recordings, there's more media attention that was put on Martin Luther King until he started going into a different direction and they just killed him because he had too much influence at that point. So I say that to say, when we're talking about free speech, how much of this is going to affect us, or are we going to be preparing for something much, much worse? Now, I think a lot of those questions will be answered if and when we see those details of the free speech, the evidence of the free speech that was oppressed on Twitter. I think in seeing some of those, that could illuminate the, you know, somewhat of the direction that Elon may be going in. As much as he is a businessman, as much as I don't know what his intentions are. And let me also be very, very clear. When somebody is talking about oppression and free speech, and you have nothing to say about the people in your own community, you have very, very little to say about your own history, that gives me somewhat of a cause to pause. It gives me a cause to pause because I sense some potential hypocrisy in the midst. And when people are hypocritical in that way, the things that they're doing may ostensibly seem like they're for the benefit of everyone, but at the end of the day, he is a businessman. So business takes precedent over everything else. So how much of this is a money grab? I think it's fair to say. Or not necessarily a money grab, but this is, you know, working for support of the people, getting people to be on your side so you can kind of do what you want to do. When people like you, when people respect you, especially Black people. And that's why I'm coming to this, because we're all about the relationship. Once we feel like we have a relationship or something with somebody, even if it's somebody that we've never met, if we feel like some sort of commonality between them or some similar ground, we tend to overlook certain things for the sake of that relationship. Now, so far, I feel like everything has been very, very good. For example, when we're talking about Balenciaga got off of Twitter immediately, as soon as that story dropped. And the thing that comes to mind when that story dropped was that, number one, was the reason that they left Twitter, or left after people found out about what they were up to, which shouldn't be a surprise to most people who know Hollywood, but did they flee because, since Elon is the new person in control, did they fear that they wouldn't get the same sort of protection that they may have gotten in the past? Because there's been a lot of companies that's been called out and things have gone wrong. Balenciaga isn't the first. However, it's very, very noticeable when they just remove and just get off of the platform altogether. It seems to me that there's a lot of dirt that's going to be released very, very soon. Or the type of protections that they were used to before Elon took it over would no longer exist. Now I'm starting to ask different questions about maybe, you know, about why Elon didn't want to necessarily take it over after he invested. They let him see kind of what was going on, what they were all about in Twitter. And then he was just like, I don't want to have any part to this, you know, any parts of this. That's why I'm analyzing what he's doing very, very carefully, because I'm not really sure what his intentions are. There's so many different things happening. And again, white people are not a monolith. You know, they do work together. Don't get that twisted, but they're not a monolith, which means that they don't necessarily agree with everything that the other does. You know, one white person may do one thing, the other person may not agree with it. They get on code, but that doesn't mean that they all have the same thought processes. And I talked a little bit about this when I talked about the Ye situation. I keep calling him Kanye. I need to stop doing that. The whole Ye situation. And because Ye clearly was trying to pander between white groups. You have white Jews, and then you have white Anglo-Saxon Protestants who historically control this country. So you saw him trying to maneuver and weave around that sort of infrastructure. And I kind of already talked about it in another episode why that was wrong for those who are curious about that, just go into my latest episode about Kanye and why he will lead us to our end. Like we should not, or yay, we should not. We should definitely keep our eyes on him. We should definitely protect him. I'm not talking about take your hands off of him and just let him be brutalized and literally lynched. But what I am saying is not give him that sort of attention that he's craving. But not delving into a different topic. Dealing with this whole Elon Musk situation and white people, I'm not really, really sure. And then again, when I go reference back to that space, there were white people there that were upset about all the layoffs. There was a lot of them that got laid off, which is tough titty. This shit happens, you know? It happens in the real world, you know? People can take over, people can get laid off. It's not his responsibility, you know, to maintain all those people. That's exactly the same thing that they give us. When we get laid off of our jobs, hey, you know, it's not their fault. Get on unemployment. That's what unemployment's for. People act like that's not there for a reason, but see, they've cast such a negative image on unemployment, which a lot of people use unemployment. Let's get real here. But they've cast such a negative thing about that. No, get your ass on unemployment. This is the real world. When people take over businesses, they can lay people off. And if those people laid off happen to be mostly white, hey, it is what it is. It's just another instance of something that happens time and time again within the society. It's nothing to boohoo over. If we're going to demonize Elon Musk for laying people off, there's a lot of companies that need to be demonized. That's how I feel about it. But the other part that I felt interesting, and this is the thing, we know why, but I'm gonna ask the question anyway. Why is mainstream media so afraid about free speech when there's allegedly supposed to be the fourth branch of government, to where they have no relationships? They're supposed to be someone who observes and reports on government but have no ties to. We know this is not true, but why are these people so afraid? And what is so different about free speech amongst the people within a society that's going to be opposed to what the mainstream media outlets are talking about? Well, family, we know what it is. Because the mainstream media outlets, they don't give news, okay? They give indoctrination. Black grassroots media and other media that supports themselves, that uses these platforms to get their message out there, these are the platforms that are going out there that don't have a battery in their back. Nobody's telling them how to go, what to say. These are people that's doing this based on their own research and their own information, which is not different from what any reporter does. Half the time when we look at the news, people are just telling you something that somebody else reported on. They put it in a nice little document, and the people that have been appointed to be the representatives at whatever hour that the news comes on per channel, those are going to be the ones giving the story. There are also stories that don't make it because the people that are in control say, no. So I think that mainstream media has every right to be afraid about what's going on Twitter, and they should be afraid about what's going on in the future. Because free speech is the real media. That's what it is. Or should I say, because media just refers to the device or avenue that they use to disseminate a message. The truth is closer to free speech. Even amongst those who think about ethnostates, they're telling their truth. And I think everybody has the right to know the truth. I think everyone has the right to know what's really going on and not get some sugar-coated message about what's happening in this world. Hard to stay sucker free when you're in a world of lollipops, man. But this is the situation that we're in. So I'm going to go ahead and end this because this doesn't need to be any longer than what it is. This is very, very interesting, and I'm curious to see what happens in the future regarding Elon Musk. I'm very, very curious to know, and I'm pretty sure we're going to find this out in the coming week or so, what he means by defending free speech and what his idea of it is. And I guess that's the last thing I do need to touch on, is the idea of free speech and what that means to everybody else. And I can put that very simply. It means something different depending on who you are. And before we start clapping and saying, yeah, free speech, let's see what they're talking about. Again, I am all for it. Because I feel in those honest dialogues is how we actually get things settled, is how we actually move things forward. You know? And I think when we have, and when that's the reality, I think one of the major issues that mainstream media has is that they don't want stuff to go forward. They want to keep things exactly the way it is. Even better, if they could have it their way, they would make America great again. But right now, they don't want to see things change any more than it already has. And I'm starting to realize, or not even realize, but it's been made abundantly clear about what the mainstream media feels like free speech is. Free speech is the speech that they allow you to have. It's what they allow you to say. It's what they say is okay to say and what not, and what's not okay to say. It's them saying, okay, because it deals with a trans person, well, you can't say anything negative or against that. You can't say anything to oppose that. No one's willing to have a discourse or a dialogue. Same thing with the Hebrew Israelite situation and black Jews being the original Jew, which is the fact. There's no getting around that. And it's really, really cute. But again, this is a part of free speech. You have certain people out there who are of the white Jewish community who say, who give their really random facts. They talk about slavery and all this stuff. See, when people start talking about stuff like that, we need to leave it where it is. But again, I feel like they should have the right to say that, to speak on that, because whether it exposes them, whether that's their opinion, that's their speech, and we should be allowed to know what it is that people think. A lot of what mainstream media has done is policed what people actually feel. That's one reason why Donald Trump got in office. Donald Trump said a lot of things that a lot of people agree with that they would like to say, but they can't say. And I feel like we need to be in support of those people saying it. You see, for me, the only time where I really worried about where I really worry about free speech, it's what kind of speech is being allowed to be free. Because when Kyrie Irving said what he had to say, which that had nothing to do with him posting the video, but he did say something when he did speak his mind about several different things, especially including regarding the jab. That wasn't free. He had to pay for that. That cost him money. So that ain't even free speech when it costs you something. And money is not the only way that it costs you, but that's a great example of it. I feel like people should have the right to say whatever it is that they want to say, as long as it can be, if it's something wrong or something that people disagree with, allow it to be challenged. I feel like anything someone says should be challenged. It should be challengeable. I don't care if anybody challenges what I have to say. I'm more than willing to get out there and debate and bring out these notes and show people where it is that I'm coming from. I feel like when you're sincere about what it is that you're doing, then you should have no fear about that. So if the ADL was truly sincere about how they felt, they should have opened that. They should have welcomed that debate with the what is his name? I think it's Andy Dalton, not Andy Dalton, Ronald Dalton Jr. They should have opened a debate with him. They should have welcomed that sort of discourse. Discourse not being, okay, we're going to sit down and talk, but I'm going to talk at you about why you're wrong. That's what happened with Nick Cannon. That ain't free speech. And if you have such an issue with the quote unquote myth that the Jews control the banks, okay, yeah, Jews don't control every bank, but they control most of them. That's fact. when you talk about Jews controlling most of the mainstream media, it's like, look at the people who are in control of Hollywood. Look at the people who are in control, who are the CEOs and the main leadership of all these mainstream news networks. Let's have that dialogue. Let's clear the air. You see, I feel like there's a lot of people upset in white society that are upset at Elon Musk because he's opening the door for that kind of dialogue. But it's the kind of dialogue that a lot of people are very, very desperate for. And what makes it even better, family, is that in the light of this pandemic, it's made people even that made 10 times thirstier for knowledge, thirstier for discourse. What they haven't really covered around the world is that many people, it ain't just China. It's funny how they brought up China recently in terms of people rebelling against the COVID mandates and different things of that nature. That's something that's been happening globally. It's been happening in Europe. It's been happening over here. The only place where it isn't really happening is in the places in Africa where they ain't dealing with it and where they're actually doing much better regarding this. So right now you can tell that the dominant society, particularly mainstream media, is doing everything in their power to keep control of the reins. Elon doesn't care. Elon is an entrepreneur. He's, you know, businessman. He's going to do what he feels like is the best decision for him. And fortunately for us, because again, I don't know what his intentions are, and I'm not going to read more into his intentions or his actions than what's there. But it does seem that what mainstream media is on and what a lot of these other people are on, shit, that's not going to benefit Elon Musk's pockets. And I also see what he's doing, too. The rumor has it that he's going to be coming out with a phone or a device and he wants to compete with Apple. Apple's in the United States. First of all, it's the only company that they have in the Fortune 100, 500, and that is not pharmaceutical or some sort of medical. Definitely in the Fortune 100 internationally. As I've reported to you guys already, China controls oil. There's a bunch of other countries that are in control of oil. This is why the pandemic was necessary, family. When you look at Forbes, look at where Johnson & Johnson, Moderna, Pfizer, look at where they were pre-COVID and look at where they are following it. But when I look at Apple is white supremacy's agreement to have the best or most dominant, the most superior technology or tech product in the world. For those of us who are in the tech world, we know how much of load, like we know that that's full of shit. We know that it's full of shit. And there's certain things that they get to control media wise. Like there's this belief that you don't have to discharge MacBooks. That's false. They're saying that you don't have to discharge them because they don't have some of those same issues where, and basically that's where, if you guys ever notice when your screen doesn't turn on or you get a black screen, you know, and nothing's there. What happens is when you keep your charger, and I'm going to be really, really quick with this. When you keep your charger into your, like, your computer for like extended period of time, you run the risk of your motherboard holding on to some of that excess energy. And because it has that excess energy, when you try to boot it, you'll get that black screen. So one method, if you're dealing with a non-MacBook, and older Macs used to do this as well until they made some changes, you would have to just unplug everything, take your battery out, and just hold the power button so you can discharge that extra energy. And then you'll go back to running things as normal. Now, what MacBooks do now is that they, every time it turns off and restarts, it allegedly goes through that process itself. I've gone through, like, listen, I have an older MacBook. My MacBook has gone through the same thing. And what them told me, they told me I couldn't even use this thing no more. But again, when you go to the Mac store or the Apple store, they don't hire people who know what the hell that they're talking about. But again, my whole point in bringing that up is that certain mythos or certain things that are said about a particular product, an American product, that are not normally said, because it may make people have a certain perspective. Like, I felt like if their products were as good as they said they were, then you wouldn't need as many Apple stores around there so they can fix the shit 24/7. That's the thing that Windows doesn't have. But again, in the interest of this community or this country, when you're talking about making money, when you're talking about choosing one product over the other, and it may seem really, really, really petty, but there's a lot of people who you're not able to say those sorts of things. Let me give a better, even better example. When it came to this pandemic, you had a lot of organizations, you had mostly social media taking you to the CDC, giving you their opinion. Meanwhile, they're silencing and stifling all the other counterpoints from people who have degrees, people who've studied this just as long as the other people who are for it. You had them fact checked everything. Family. That's a great example of how our free speech has been attacked. A whole bunch of weird things have gone on because of this pandemic. Like, vaccines are never created this quickly. You can try to tell me that it wasn't an experiment, but anytime that, like, but let me give you this. Moderna released their vaccine allegedly less than a day. Like, they barely tested it for like a day or so. They just got it out there. How is that not experimental if you've not done appropriate testing? How is it experimental when the shit don't work? And I think between the pandemic, between other things in society, mainstream media is very, very upset with Twitter, and they want to see more oppression, more suppression of speech like that, anything that could counter what they're talking about. Now, again, if you're reporting on something and you're reporting on something with the facts, you shouldn't worry about what someone else may say. That shows you not only the insecurity that lies within mainstream media, it also shows you their flaws. Because again, if you're putting in all that research, you're putting the time in, you're talking to your sources, you got your information, what the hell do you care about what someone else has to say? You have all the resources available for you to make that story even more compelling than what someone by themselves can do. But they're threatened by the fact that there's information that counters theirs. And I think it's even more threatening when that information is correct. Because then they can't just go around lying. They can't just go around, and you had this whole thing about fake news. You have to deal with the actual facts. Obama said it himself not too long ago. I believe he was in Georgia helping them campaign, helping Stacey Abrams. He spoke to how the people have lost trust in their leaders. They've lost trust in the mainstream media, the people who give them information. Well, whose fault is that? The only thing that media has is their word. Their word is bond. When people don't believe what you say, you've lost it. That's not our fault. Shame on you, Obama. How dare you put the blame on us when it's the mainstream media who failed to live up to their duties, failed to live up to their responsibilities? When they give out fake stories, partial information, for a check, they've sabotaged themselves. It is not up to us to believe everything that the media says. It is up to us, or it's up to the media, to prove to us what they said is true, based on facts. But Ida B. Wells, for people who've studied Ida B. Wells and the kind of work that she's done, I think that we'll understand that media in this country has oftentimes had very little to do with facts. And to quote one of my favorite scholars, Ivan Van Sertima, he told us, because he's never spoken to me directly, but he told us that as he's gone on through academia, he found that the people with the most facts often had the least truth. So where we're at right now, family, where we're at as a society, where we're at as a black community, we're at the crossroads. This is the point. This is the beginning of that point that I was talking about a few years ago. And it starts off when people are going to have to choose sides. And we're already seeing it. Before the end of this year, who you guys thought was on your side ain't going to be on your side. And who you thought wasn't on your side going to be on your roster. That's how this thing works. History does not repeat, but it does sure as hell rhyme. Okay? So what's happening right now is only a natural outcome. It's only, it's a logical conclusion. We've known for a long time that the media was full of shit. But it takes a while before that actually registers. You know, seeing is believing. And I think over the last 2.5 years, almost 3 years, we've really seen what this media is all about, particularly the black community. Because as far as it relates to us, damn near every story that they do about us is an attack, whether it's sports media, regular news media, everything that they do on social media. Damn it, we can't even critique a shit movie without the racist coming out and having to say, throw the extra 2 cents in there and try to turn it into something that it's not. We know that the Black Panther movie wasn't any good, but that's no excuse to go in there and try to trash certain aspects or make a certain narrative about it. But again, on the subject of free speech, I believe that we need to see that kind of stuff. We need to see the kind of society that we're actually living in. I think we need to actually see the thoughts of these people who would call that movie Wakanda 2, The African Boogaloo. Yeah, for those who don't know, you'll know who I'm talking about if you've seen the review. He has the full review on his personal site, as I'm sure he would, because he gets to say exactly what he wants to say. You know what? I don't want him to have to go to a whole nother platform with his buddies. I want him to be able to put that kind of content out there to where he can be challenged by the rest of society. I'm ducking high. African Boogaloo. With that being said, family, I know this went on a bit longer than I thought, but these are just some things to consider. There's a lot of things that's going to be changing for us. There's a lot of things changing within the media. Society is going to change. What you think about politics is changing. And I'm saying that for the most of us. Some of us are in the same boat that we've been in, but I'm talking about us as a people, and not just as a people, as a country. I think one of the things that get missed out of that whole of the whole midterm elections is not just the fact that how they tried to demonize the black man and how they tried to blame everything on black people, but I think it's also a sign showing that the things that the Democratic Party is kind of standing for, nobody's standing for. And they've made themselves look really, really bad. And for the people who are allegedly in control of most of that mainstream media, that's a problem for them. That's a problem, but I think that's very, very telling. Because I know most of the people, look, there are a lot of people that were historic, and I'm talking about white people, that were historically Democrat that voted Republican during the midterms. That's a story that's not being talked about. The shift within white society. Now, what that means for black society, that is yet to be determined. But it definitely means something. Things are happening. With our participation or without it. But I like our participation in it. So with that being said, peace, love, and light, family. Enjoy the rest of your week. Hope everyone kind of thinks about what I've been talking about. And let's pay attention. Let's keep observing. Let's see what happens moving forward. Because like I said, the end of this year is going to be crazy. I can only imagine what the next 2 years are going to be like. So, not much else to say. Social media links in the description. Thanks for supporting me for as long as you guys have. And tech out.